There's the gift of miracles. Now, miracles is greater than healing, right? I think of miracles. I think of Moses parting the Red Sea. I mean, he's looking at a sea that is before him, and there is no possible way according to the flesh. But there's always a way whenever we look at it through God's eyes. And so just this gift of miracles where Moses began to lift up his rod, and as he lifted up his rod, the sea parted. That is an act of God. That is a supernatural act. That is a miracle. Amen. And I believe in miracles. I believe that God is still the God of miracles. I believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that he remains to be who he is. And if he did it back then, he can do it today. Amen. The gift of prophecy. Now, this is a direct word from God. Sometimes used to edify. Sometimes used to correct. Sometimes used to bring some clarity to someone's life. In the Old Testament, we see the prophets. God would speak to them directly. And they would have a direct word. And oftentimes it was repent and turn from your evil ways, or judgment is coming. That's what you find often in the Old Testament. But it's not necessarily only that. It could be a prophet could come, and just like Brother Andrew Eastman, whenever he came, we believe that he works in the gift of prophecy, where he would speak a word over your life, a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word that would point you towards the things of God. And so we believe in that as well. And then we see that there is the discerning of spirits. And so as we talked about, there are spirits of darkness, and there's the Holy Spirit. Learning to discern between which is which. Again, the gift is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And then the gift of tongues, which is speaking an unknown language, a heavenly language. Basically, it is not known to us. It's known between us and God. And the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, and you speak the language. I'm so thankful for those. Whenever I went to El Salvador and Nicaragua, we're in church service, that they had the gift of tongues, that they were able to speak in a tongue, that they were able to speak English to me so that I can understand it, for one, because I cannot understand Spanish very well. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the gift of speaking a language. You know, Paul, he talks about this. He says, look, I speak in tongues. If you want to know more about the gift of tongues, read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It tells you all kinds of stuff about tongues. But basically, summarizing what Paul said in that chapter, he says, look, I wish that all of you would speak in tongues. He says, I wish that all of you would. But he said, it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. The reason was, speaking in tongues, no one is edified in the body of Christ, if I were just to get up here and speak in a tongue, okay? If I just got up here and just let it rip from the pulpit and I did it for a couple of hours, you would all be confused. And if there was any outsiders that are coming in, you'd be like, what in the world is going on, right? Because you wouldn't understand what is being said. And so there's the tongue, but yet there's the interpretation of tongues. And this is what I meant earlier whenever I said I was grateful for. I'm thankful for the interpretation of the tongue. In other words, being able to hear a language and translate it so that I can be edified. You know, so whenever I hear that message in my language, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm so encouraged. Maybe I'm challenged. Maybe there's an issue in my life that God's wanted to work in me. And because of that interpretation, I'm able to understand what is being said. So there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in this particular passage, and they are all given to us as God sees fit to do so. Now, as I was preparing for this, I ran across a pastor, a very, very well-known and respected pastor, who prayed to the Lord for many, many, many years that he would have the gift of tongues, because he thought that was the one gift that he should have. And every time that he prayed, the Lord said, no. And John, I gave his name away. John Piper, he says, God, I really want this gift. And every time that he would pray, he said, God, he just felt like God would say no. He said, look, I gave you the gift of teaching God's word. I gave you the gift of administration. I gave you these other gifts. This one is not for you. And so I believe that. I believe that God gives to each one of us according as he sees fit to do so. I don't believe that everyone has to speak in tongues. But if the Lord would put that tongue if he would give you the utterance to speak in tongues, that you would open your mouth and speak in that tongue. Amen. And that's what we want to kind of get into right now. Looking at the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 31, it says this. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." Now, this is what I want you to focus on. In verse 29, it says, "Are all apostles?" And you can answer that. What do you think? Is everyone in here an apostle? "Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret tongues?" Clearly, there is some distinction being made. Clearly, Paul says there are various gifts, and God is the gift giver, right? And so you may not have the gift of tongues, but perhaps you have the gift of healing, the gift of teaching. You're able to teach and communicate God's word so clearly. You're able to, I mean, maybe you have the faith to pray for someone and they are healed. Maybe you have the gift of believing God for miracles and incredible things. You may not be a prophet or have the gift of prophecy, but maybe you have some other gift that the Lord has blessed you with. The question is it necessary for Christians to use the gifts? Well, going back to that ducky bear, you know, that's quite different, right? That's a gift that I don't really plan on using, nor do I think my brothers plan on using that ducky bear ever in his life. But God is a good gift giver. Amen. I want to drive that point. I want to say that God is a good gift giver, and he knows what gift to give you. And that as Christians, we are encouraged to pursue the gifts. Look at that last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." So I believe the gifts are, you know, there comes a point in your Christian walk, after you are saved, after you have given your heart to the Lord, that the Lord's heart truly becomes your heart. That you begin to see people the way that Jesus sees people. That you begin to have compassion on people the way that the Lord had compassion on people. That your desires begin to change whenever you give your heart to the Lord. And as your desires begin to change, there should be this desire to minister and to edify the body of Christ, because that's what Jesus came to do. And so, therefore, the gifts are necessary in our lives. Whatever gift it may be, whatever service it may be, you may feel like the Lord has not given you either one of these gifts, but you feel like you have this gift of service where you just love serving in the church. You just love being a servant leader. Use that. Use that for the glory of God. Amen. Use the gift. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11, it says this: "As each has received a gift, use it." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Use it." "Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So now this whole idea of stewardship comes into play. Uh-oh. So whenever my aunt gives me a ducky bear, there's not a whole lot of stewardship there. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it. But whenever God gives you a gift, he expects that you would use it. Amen. He expects that he didn't give you that gift in vain, that you would use the gift. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, this is what we do everything for, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so it is the reason we use the gift so that God can be glorified through your life. You know, whenever I think of the gifts, it talks about like the manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, it is the way that God reveals himself to others through the gift that he has given you. Isn't that incredible that the way that people may come to know the Lord is by the gift that God has given you? Amen. So, how do you get the gifts? Are we just going to, you know, is it going to be like Santa Claus and he just has a bag and here's one for you? No, it's not going to be like that. In fact, there are several instances in the Bible where we see that the elders laid their hands on the recipients of the gifts and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. One example is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is telling his mentoree, Timothy. He says, "Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." And so there was this gift that was given whenever the laying on of hands took place. And we believe that. We believe that because the Bible preaches it. And so we've already established that the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us at the moment of salvation. But then there's this desire that begins to change on the inside of us. Our desires are the spiritual gifts. And now we're getting to the point where we're being laid our hands on, and we're receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So after you receive it, how do you use the gift? And if I want you guys to get this, God gives the utterance. God gives the utterance. Going back to the gift of healing that I believe that the Lord has given me, there have been several times when I prayed with people, and I didn't have the utterance. I prayed, but I still, you know, I believe God. And we just prayed a prayer of faith. We believe God for it. And I might not have seen anything happen in that moment. But there have been times when I've had an utterance. You know, like, "Ted, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to lay hands on this person." And whenever I did, that person was healed. And so there's this utterance that comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. I believe the same is true with tongues. Every Tuesday we're here, we're praying in the sanctuary. And sometimes the utterance of the Holy Spirit would just come and I would speak in that heavenly language, in that tongue. I don't do it up here on the pulpit because it's not edifying to the body of Christ. But in my personal prayer life, in my personal prayer time, I'm speaking the tongue as the Holy Spirit is giving me the utterance to do so. And so the whole idea of how to use the gifts is when you feel or have that utterance from or that prompting of the Holy Spirit. How many guys have a smartphone in this place? You can just take it out, kind of wave it around if you want. Now, whenever you have a smartphone, there's not a whole lot on the smartphone. It's not very smart at the very beginning of this whenever you get a smartphone, right? You have to download apps. And as you download apps, your phone becomes smarter and smarter than we become. Well, you know what we become. And so the app, whenever you download the app onto your phone, it is there, right? It is on your phone. The full capacity of that app is available to you on your phone. And it's not until I actually open up the app and begin to see its full capacities. So now I have this metronome because I'm a drummer. Fun, right? You might be saying, "Pastor Ted, why do you have a metronome on your phone?" Because I'm a drummer. Anyway, so I would not know its full capacity of this app unless I opened up the app and use it. I mean, there are so many things. I can even change the time signature in this thing. You want me to do that for you? You're probably saying, probably not, Ted. But I'm going to do it anyway. So I can go 6-8 time if I want it to. And let's see if it's going to do it. It probably will. Maybe not. But nonetheless, you can, as I get into this, the more I use this app, the more I jump into it, I learn all the secrets of it. I learn how to use this app. I get better at using the app. At the moment that we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is there. He's there, right? The fullness, and it's available to you. His power is available to you at that very moment. It's not until you open the app. It's not until you use the gift that you will begin to see God work in incredible ways. And so what that looks like is if you feel like the Lord has given you a gift of healing, then whenever you feel that utterance from the Holy Spirit, when he says, look, I want you to pray for this particular person, then your responsibility is to open the app, use the gift, and pray for that person. Now, if you never say a prayer, if you never walk in that gift, how will you grow in the gift? How will you know the goodness of God and his faithfulness and the fact that he is able to heal if you never use the gift? Maybe there's a word of knowledge, and again, using extreme caution, knowing only that it comes from God and from God only. If you never speak that word of knowledge, and perhaps maybe run it through a pastor first beforehand, how would that person be edified? How would that person be built up? How would that person grow in his or her walk with the Lord if the gift is never used? And so for you, I would almost say, kind of like Nike's slogan, just do it, right? Open up, use the gift. Use the gift that God has given you, whatever it may be. And we're going to believe and pray for those of you who are believers and those of you whose desires have changed. Those desires are to do the work of the Lord, to honor the Lord, to edify the body of Christ, to build up the saints. If that is your desire, we're going to pray with you and believe that God will give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have this moment where we lay hands on you and just believe. Nothing weird's going to happen. I believe that God is a God of order and not of chaos. But we will believe and trust that God will give you the gift that you so desire. Amen. And so, in conclusion, I want to say this, that God, the Holy Spirit, apportions the gifts, and he empowers the gifts. God, the Holy Spirit, gives the utterance. Amen. It's not going to be a manipulation of man. I'm not going to manipulate you into speaking in tongues. I'm not going to manipulate you into doing anything. We're just going to pray, and we're going to believe that God will give you the utterance. Amen. And that he will quicken your spirit. And so right now, if we can play a song, maybe an instrumental of some sort, we're going to take this time right now, and we're going to have baptism after. So if you feel like you have to go, we understand. But we would encourage you that you would desire the gifts. And so today, I want my leader confident enough who can pray with someone to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit to come to the front. And we will just want to pray with you. We're just going to believe. We're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. Amen. If you are out there, would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? We're going to reverence this time with the Lord. God, come, have your way. Come, have your way, O Lord. Lord, we desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to do all that you have called us to do. Lord, we want to reach all whom you have called us to reach. And Lord, you have given us the gifts to do so. So Lord, today we just pray that your spirit, God, would reign in this place, that you would have your way. We invite you, O Lord. We invite you into this place. We lift up our hands and surrender our hearts to you. We say, God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in this place. Fill each and every person with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you're in this place today and you're wanting the gifts of the Holy Spirit evident in your life, would you come to the front and we're going to believe God with you. We're going to lay our hands on you and believe that you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. So there should be no distractions, but we're going to reverence the living God in this place. We're going to allow him to do whatever he wants to do in this place. Right now, would you maybe just lift up your hands? If you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit already and you speak in tongues, speak in that tongue right now in Jesus' mighty name. Speak in that tongue. Thank you, Lord God. The gifts of prophecy, the gifts, Lord God, of tongues, the gifts of interpretation of tongues, the gifts, Lord God, of discernment, discerning between what is good and what is evil. We thank you for the gifts, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the gifts. Lord, we worship you. Come on, church, let's just worship the Lord. If you're out there and you feel like you're an outsider, just maybe stand to your feet and lift up your hands and just worship your King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to create an atmosphere of prayer and revival in this place. We want the Lord to come and move. Come and move in this place. Come and move in this place, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.